Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lumos. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Shell College Radio. I'm your host, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as Sir Ezra the Watchful, History of Magic Professor, the Flannel Wizard, obviously. Yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of fourth year, Triwizard Champion herself, my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Hallo und einen wunderschönen guten Tag. It's so good to have you back in our beautiful little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Kommt rein und macht's euch gemütlich. Welcome to episode 81, in which we discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. This week we'll talk about chapter 2, The Scar. We'll give you a quick life update with our homemade cottage ketchup, feed our brains with important trivia knowledge, and then dive head on into our chapter summary audio experience. And I want to start you off with a question for cottage ketchup today. How do you feel in your space?
I feel great. I feel good. Really good. You want to know why?
Yeah.
Because I, unlike Dudley, I didn't toss my PlayStation out the window. I actually upgraded.
First, and then you tossed it out.
Then I tossed the second one out. What am I on? PlayStation 5. Got me a PlayStation 5. The 4 might be going out the window. I don't know.
Mark has been successful with his Jedi
yes.
mind tricks.
Yes.
That he's been playing on you.
I've been pressured. I have been influenced in ways that I just, you know, that I'm grateful for.
Actually, so. It looks fantastic, I got to say.
Oh, I love it. We've been playing some Hogwarts Legacy on there. I've been playing some Destiny. I downloaded Jedi Survivor. Been going through that. It looks beautiful. So I'm having a blast, and what I was able to do as well is clean out my space a little bit. Kind of had this, like, I don't know, like life crisis going on the past couple weeks, and I remember I came home when I bought the PS5, and I walked in with several bags, okay? Lottie's like, okay, I thought he was just going to get, like, one thing, and I came back with multiple things.
You were
going to
go get a coffee.
Yeah, and I come back with all this stuff, and I literally said, I am going to set this house in order. This domain shall be balanced once again. And I brought it back into balance. We had a missing curtain upstairs. You had broken 2 water bottles in 2 weeks. And so
too much to carry.
I know, too much to
carry. I have like 5 bags that every day I carry from the car into a house and back.
It is wild.
It's just so much school stuff I need and stuff I'm
working
on. I
can't imagine you riding your bike with all that stuff.
I did. I used to carry them on the train. To work and back.
Yeah, it was awful.
So, and I feel it now. Now it's only that little trip to the car, and I feel it because I'm not, you know,
right.
I'm not as fit anymore.
I think you're pretty fit. I think you're pretty fit. I just think, like, I will never forget we were in Germany, and guys, Lottie was like, don't worry, we're going to just go down here to the train, and we're going to get off the train, and then we'll just walk to my friend's house. And yeah, carry this 50-pound watermelon while you're at it. In the literally like the heat. Guys, it was hot. Midsummer. And it wasn't just that. It was a workout.
Did it make you stronger?
It made me stronger. It also made me go like, this is stupid, but whatever. I'd rather do like a double workout than do that. It was just ridiculous. It was so inconvenient. Because you're going there, you're like, okay, I don't want to be sweaty and gross. But I'm going to go here and meet these friends, and like, I don't know them. They don't know me. They're like, this guy's profusely sweating. What is going on? He carried a watermelon. Okay, get over it.
I didn't know how long it was, and there was no buses.
I know. I'm just teasing. But it was a 2-hour. It was a 2-hour walk.
No, it was 30 minutes.
Okay, it was 2 hours. And so anyway, I feel good in my space. I'm feeling really solid. I think everything is like little things like just getting an extension cord that is about 6 huge. Inches longer so we can run all this equipment for the video version is huge. So got that set up and just got a couple other things and got this place in order. Feels good.
Your desk looks so clean and I mean, you have all your comic books in.
So it was clean until I set the stack of comic books there. It's good. No, I'm still working on stuff. I had everything. I had to transfer my data from my PS4 to my PS5, and so I got that all rolling. Some of you are like, "Well, I just didn't upgrade to a PS5 yet." No, sorry, not yet. And some of you are like, "As I'm still on the PS3."
Oh, if you want to upgrade to a PS4, we can sell you one. For a good price, reach out to us if you want one.
Let us know, guys. I got PlayStation 4 sitting right here. But the space is good. I'm feeling good. I think we are in a good spot.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? How are you doing?
Good. Sehr gut. This morning we did a little fast until 10 o'clock. Had some coffee, some eggs, avocado. Did a lot of research on things. I mean, this chapter is not exactly one where we do a lot of research on, but we still did it.
We did. We're proud of ourselves.
Oh, I'm excited. And also excited what kind of surprise you have for me in the trivia training, because we have a new format, but we don't have the cards yet. We didn't order the trivia packet. So that's on our list for next week. We'll do that. But this week we only have one or two questions for each other.
Whoa, I thought it was one.
Okay, one question.
You tricked me.
No.
You're trying to get an advantage.
I have a question for you.
You have two questions.
No.
And you were trying to, you're going to pounce one on me and then put me on the spot, aren't you? Go ahead. Okay, let's do it. Let's try it. Let's go.
If you have the same question, though?
I think we might.
Because then, if you...
Then we'll do rock,
you
paper,
go
scissors.
First. No, you go first because I have two potential questions.
Okay. So. Well, then if you... Wait, no, I want to know if you have my question, because then you already know the answer to it. Not fair.
No, you ask the question first.
How do we know we both have the same question, don't we?
I don't know.
I think we do. Okay, all right. Into our trivia training.
Is
Here
this a trial run?
What
and
do you
next
mean?
Week we start counting the points?
Wait, oh, yeah. This is just a trial run.
So
yeah.
The competition starts next week.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, here's my question. What is Gilderoy Lockhart's favorite color, and what would his ideal be?
His favorite color is lavender. I don't know. No.
It starts with an L.
Starts with an L. It's lilac. Lilac. That's what I said. Lilac. And the second part of the question was?
What would his ideal birthday gift be? This is kind of funny.
I think it would be his ideal birthday gift would be world peace.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
He did. So he said, harmony between all magic and non-magic people. Peoples.
Boom. Boom.
Though.
I got it right.
Although I wouldn't say no to a large bottle of Ogden's Old Fire Whiskey.
Yeah, but what's more important, guys?
World peace.
Okay. So I got that one. So I got one. I got 0.5.
You got half a point. Yeah.
Okay.
Your turn.
Okay. What was the name of the PlayStation game that Dudley Dursey liked to play most during this past summer?
Oh, wow. I just read it.
He plays it on his PlayStation.
It's part three of You Gotta Shoot Some Aliens. That was in the first book. He's shooting aliens on his computer. And this is something Massacre?
Mm-mm. Close.
With an M, right?
Yeah, it's with an M. And it's huge. It's huge.
Part three. What's another word for like
huge? Another word that's
massive.
Huge. Right, close. Massive.
Mass.
Mega.
Oh yeah, mega mutilation.
Whoa.
Oh my god, mega mutilation. Like, oh
yes.
Yes, mega mutilation part three.
Right.
There you go.
Well done. I also just want to kind of give Dudley some credit here. I'm a PlayStation guy, and I'm glad that you know he was rolling with the PlayStation. Truly.
But he didn't value it as much because he's really
Well, he just got upset. He just got upset.
He's got some issues.
Yeah, well, he was smuggling donuts in, so he
don't blame him.
If
all you get for breakfast is a grapefruit, well, that's part of next chapter. But.
Yeah, but still, I understand his. We went through it this morning.
Dudley, maybe you have to try some fasting instead. Maybe that changes your mood.
That's the whole point. He's just.
I'm sure he grew up when he was older. I'm sure he.
Was he doing calorie restriction?
Yes, they were.
That's
hardcore. Go have a grapefruit for breakfast.
That's hard. That's not
It's harder.
Fun.
It's harder than
not
nothing
as good
at all.
For you, in my opinion. Not a doctor, okay? But in my personal experience.
Yeah.
throwing some intermittent fasting in there and then eating the things you want to eat, it's a little better for you, in my opinion.
Feels better, at least.
Okay. Yep. You know? All right.
In my humble opinion as a humble Hufflepuff.
Okay, now on to something a little bit different here.
Surprise me.
Ready for this? Name this Harry Potter character in 45 seconds or less. Go.
Oh, is it a girl? A boy?
Yes.
Is it Dudley Dursley?
Really? What? 7 seconds? I'm doing another one.
Sorry, I was too fast.
That was too easy. I was hoping you would go around in circles for a second.
No, I just had Dudley on my mind.
Jiminy Christmas. Gosh. You can't fake it. It's not like I can be like, audible in my mind. What's the other male character?
Dudley. Blah, blah, blah. Dudley.
Okay. All right. Let me think of another one then real quick. Ready? Okay. Name this Harry Potter character in 45 seconds or less. Go.
Fred Weasley.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay. Is it a wizard?
Yes.
A Hogwarts student?
No.
Okay. Is it an adult wizard?
Yes.
Arthur Weasley?
No.
Okay. Mad-Eye Moody? Really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
16 seconds. Wow. You're killing it.
I'm in your mind.
Oh, that is wild. Okay. Let's go for one more. Final bad boy. The trifactor.
Ooh, the trifactor.
Okay, this is going to be... I'm going to make this a tough one. Because you've just... dang. How tough are you going to go on this?
Ooh, is it a character I know?
This is a character that I have recently talked to you about.
Okay. So why... And then it's not tough.
Well, yeah. What do you mean?
You're already sending...
No, here it is. Ready? Okay.
Okay.
Name this Harry Potter character in 45 seconds or less. Go.
Is this character a wizard?
No.
Is this character human?
No.
Is this character a house elf?
Yes.
Is this character a creature?
No.
What?
No.
Wait. Pokey.
Not Pokey.
Hokey.
Okay. The house elf.
The Hokey elf.
Wow, 20 seconds. That's pretty good.
Oh,
you're
my
getting
God,
better
this
at this.
Game. It's Dang. Because I'm in your headspace.
Wow.
I mean, the same headspace that you're
I thought in. I had you on that one.
Creature. I thought of creature first time you said I talked to you about this character. So
unfortunately, I've been writing shorts.
Do you want me to get you one?
Oh, you know a couple here. Take the time. All you got to do, set the timer so the camera can see it.
Oh, the camera can see it like this?
Yeah.
Tell me if it's in the...
Well, yeah, it's in the shot. I mean, it doesn't have to be seen. It's just so you...
Okay.
I need you to see the timer so you know when time is up.
Okay, let me think real quick. Mm. Oh.
Friends, this is just a game we enjoy playing. We do this on our shorts sometimes, and we're getting better and better at it. Like, we really are kind of in each other's head. I almost need to play it with somebody different.
Okay, right? Okay. Let me
Maybe
think.
We could do this for some of our Discord
yes.
stuff that we're planning,
yes,
right?
We will.
So we've got a couple more people
That's
that
so
we're
fun.
Maybe going to talk to about coming on the show. And then I think after that, we're going to be switching over to our Patreon page where we're going to just do some stuff on Discord once a quarter.
Yes.
Right? So we're excited. But then we could play this game at some point. I think it'd be fun.
Okay. Let me see.
You have to ask really good questions, so you have to like narrow it down with yes or no questions and just get where you're at.
Okay, I have two characters.
Let's do both.
The second one I think is really hard.
Let's go. Come on now.
Okay. First one. Name this Harry Potter character in 45 seconds or less. Go.
Is this a witch?
Nine. No.
Is this a wizard?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this a Hogwarts student?
No.
Is this a Hogwarts professor?
No.
Is this an order member of the Order of the Phoenix?
No.
Is this a Death Eater?
Yes.
Okay. It's a bad person. Is this Regulus Black?
Yes.
You had to hesitate. So you see,
I know.
I'm
I
in
like,
your head
yes, you
right
are.
Now.
I mean, he is.
Wow.
I should have just said
he
yes.
Is.
But
no,
he is one of those Death Eaters who's
switches
kind of on. I mean, when he dies, is he still a Death Eater?
Mm-mm.
Not really, right?
Just like when Darth Vader's brought back to the light, right? He's no longer,
Ooh.
He's Anakin. He's
yeah.
Anakin, even though he's in the suit.
Yeah, so good one. Okay, this one is really hard though.
Give me another one
because I don't think I would get it. But
okay,
this it's kind of funny, but again, give really hard. Name this character.
Come on now.
Name this Harry Potter character in 45 seconds.
What's going?
Okay.
Composure.
Ooh. Name this Harry Potter character in 45 seconds. Go.
Is this character a wizard?
No.
Witch.
No.
Muggle?
No.
Is this character a beast?
Yes.
Fantastic Beast?
It's not in the book. Or is it?
Is it
know.
A creature? Is it a creature?
Yes.
Buckbeak. Is this character... It's not in the book? Is this character a...
I don't think it is in the book. Uh-oh.
What? Is this... It's not Crookshanks. I mean, Crookshanks is in the book. It's a magical beast.
Measle is in the book, yeah. In the Fantastic Beasts book. I mean, it's in the Harry Potter series, of course.
That's what I was asking.
Oh, I thought Fantastic Beasts book. No, it's in the series book, in the book, yeah. Sorry.
Don't know.
Throw one out here.
Don't know. 3 seconds. I don't know. Done. Dang.
It's the giant squid.
Yeah, it's in the book. I mean, you said it wasn't in the book, so I'm thinking like Fantastic Beasts movie. I was like, oh, it must be in the movies, or it must be a movie.
Well, you said, is it in the Fantastic Beasts book, which is the book that Newt wrote about Fantastic Beasts?
Let's reverse this record here. I don't think I said that, guys. You heard me. You said it's not. You actually just said it's not in the book. I don't think I even said anything. We can
Well, had I said it's in the book, yes. Do you think you would have gotten it?
Yes, absolutely.
You confident?
Absolutely. So, well, okay, that was fun. Sorry, thanks, guys. Thanks for allowing us to entertain ourselves here for just a hot second. Moving on, it is time to dive into kind of a shorter chapter this week, but this is chapter 2, The Scar. Harry wakes up from what he thinks has been a nightmare. His lightning bolt-shaped scar is burning in pain. In his dream, he witnessed the murder of an old man named Frank Bryce, and the murderer was none other than Lord Voldemort himself. For some reason, though, Harry can't quite remember what Lord Voldemort looked like. And then there is that stinging pain in his scar troubling him. The last time it hurt, Voldemort was nearby. Not only is Harry worried about the pain in his old scar, but he is also feeling pretty lonely as he's stuck at the Dursleys for the summer, far away from his friends Ron and Hermione. Uncle Vernon and Aunt Petunia make Harry's life at Privet Drive miserable as usual. They hate magic and everything associated with the magical world, so they keep telling neighbors and relatives that Harry attends St. Brutus's Secure Center for Incurable Criminal Boys to explain his absences during the school year at Hogwarts. At least they're so afraid of the fact that Sirius Black, still falsely known as a mass murderer, is Harry's godfather that they let him keep his magical school things in his room. Trying to figure out who to tell about his scar hurting, Harry thinks over his options. Hermione would probably just tell him to go do some book research and talk to Dumbledore, but Harry feels like that would make a big deal out of nothing. Talking to Ron, on the other hand, might just cause the Weasleys to panic and to think he's gone mad, or even get Ron's dad involved, and Harry doesn't want that either, especially not towards the end of the summer as he expects them to have him over at their house soon. So he decides to write to his godfather, Sirius Black. Even though Sirius is still on the run for a crime he didn't commit, Harry trusts him a lot. Harry values Sirius's perspective partly because of his direct connection to his parents and also his understanding of the darker aspects of the wizarding world. The decision to share his worries with someone definitely leaves Harry feeling a lot better. In his letter, he asks if it's normal for old cursed scars to hurt years later. This is Harry's way of trying to deal with the scary and threatening feeling that something bad is linked to the pain in his scar and the nightmare that he had.
Okay, so we all know that feeling when you have a weird pain and you don't know where it comes from, you can't really explain it, you have a weird feeling about it, and it always feels better to talk to someone about it. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily want to go to a doctor all the time. When you get older and when you're in your later 20s and your 30s, you know, you start having weird pains.
Yes, you do.
And we actually talked about this yesterday, that we want to do more of that fasting stuff. Not that it has anything to do with Harry's problem here, because it's totally
Maybe
related
he
to something
though.
Different.
Maybe
fasting
Maybe
he should
would...
join in on Dudley's diet and fast some more. This poor skinny boy.
Right. Could be the sugar getting to his scar.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. No, he seems pretty underfed. So anyway, Harry's scar is hurting, and this is something that we are so used to in the later books. But honestly, yeah, the first 2-3 books, it didn't really happen. Only when Voldemort was near. So Harry is not really used to that at all. Mm-hmm. In this, that's why it's just something new he wants to talk about. And it's sad that he doesn't have anyone in his close proximity to talk about this, because the Dursleys would not care, would laugh, would probably think he's crazy. Even though, do you think Petunia would think about it for a second if Harry
told
him
sure.
that?
Yeah, for sure. She'd be like, that's weird. What's yeah. going on? And she would want
to
know.
She would probably, her outside demeanor would be like, yeah, right, okay, I don't care.
Whatever. Right, but then he would walk away and she would ponder in the kitchen, what does that mean? She might even walk out and do some, you know, gardening, hedge trimming, and think, what's going on?
Do we give Petunia more credit than she deserves? I don't know. But
probably.
I wanted to mention that Harry, when he describes, you know, in this chapter, it's all about a little recap If we come back from years after the third book came out and there's some time passed, and then you read the book for the fourth book for the first time, and you need a little recap on who's Harry, what's the wizarding world, who's Sirius Black again, who are his relatives he lives with. And I think it's beautifully done in this chapter because it also... It has a function. It still talks about Harry's problem with the scar while recapping all these different characters and situations here. And Harry wonders, he actually assumes that Dudley, Petunia, and Vernon, he says he likes them best when they're asleep and just assumes that their dreams are untroubled and painless.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to point out, yeah, it's absolutely Harry's perspective we get here, because how do we know? Maybe they do have troubled dreams.
I bet
maybe
you Petunia they're has, terrified.
Maybe Petunia does have nightmares or dreams where Lily's back in her life. Mm-hmm. We all get dreams sometimes about things that happened during our childhood. And I'm sure she gets flashbacks in her dreams. So, Harry, don't just assume that your dreams are the worst. They're probably worse. I mean, we witness it. They're pretty bad. And it's unfortunately his dreams, or this particular dream, actually happened. But I just want to say that we don't know how Dudley, Petunia, and Vernon's inner life and dreams, what they're like.
Yeah, maybe Aunt Petunia is haunted by Lily coming to her dreams and saying who knows what, right? Maybe she has some guilty conscience and her dreams are completely, like, they're nightmares.
Yeah.
Right? Lily comes back and maybe James is there and they're like, hey, be nice to my son.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And she sort of knows. She's tormented inside. Well, Vernon wants me to behave this way, and I think, whatever.
I know.
And I, again, Dudley is probably having still nightmares about the pigtail.
The PlayStation. Oh.
Wow. That was removed. Both were removed, I guess. But, yeah. Magic scares them.
Yeah, they absolutely.
And it should. Their son has... Harry has a lightning scar, right? Dudley also has a pigtail scar. What does that mean?
Ooh.
Okay? Did Hagrid ever split his soul? Sorry, I was just going too far.
I mean, we don't know.
I mean, the scar, I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
I was actually reading some stuff about Avada Kedavra and the scar and how, like, the curse leaves no mark.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting that
True.
It did leave a mark on Harry. And people are like, wait a second, it can't do
right.
that. Well, what it was, right, was Voldemort's soul. That's the spot that it entered into his forehead and said,
yep.
Psh, I'm going in here to live with you, bro. Boom. And popped in there. So, I don't know. Maybe Hagrid
left some scars.
I mean, for him, did he...
They had to cut it out, so there is a scar.
Did he accidentally kill, like a what are they called? Like a flobber worm or whatever it was? And
don't know.
Split his soul? Bless him? Maybe he thought that was...
Oh, is your soul split when you kill an animal?
I mean, depending on how you feel about it, I mean, who knows?
Probably, yeah.
Treading in different waters there.
But at the same time, depending on how you feel, killing, actual human beings, Voldemort doesn't really care, but still his soul is so
true. Yeah,
something to think about. Nothing
right.
We want to focus on right now, but just something to think about.
Well,
some food,
we're drifting in some deep water,
some
there
dark,
so.
Some dark
water.
Well,
we're drinking some sort of water this episode. I don't know. But dreams. Troubling
yes.
Scars
plus the fact that they want to be just normal, right? I mean, Harry just assumes that because he doesn't try to think from their perspective. He just thinks, okay, they just hate magic so much, and they want to be the most normal people on this mm-hmm, planet. Mm-hmm. And everything in their life, having that nephew who's been cursed by the darkest wizard of all time.
He's literally
it's
the
hard
chosen
to
one.
To be normal.
Right.
With him in their lives.
He's the superstar of the wizarding
yeah,
world.
Yeah, basically.
And they are like, we want nothing to do with this.
Right. They choose to live in one of the classic suburbs of London, right?
Gosh, wouldn't you love... I mean, I look at their house. Here's
yeah.
the thing. I think why I'm so partial to... Like, the reason I like... I dream about
yeah.
having a little house like that.
I know.
I'm like, come on. That is such a cute, quaint little house with a little backyard. And they all do such a good job on their hedges are all trimmed and everything looks so
yes.
nice and clean. And I'm like, boy, I wouldn't mind just going there.
I know. Remember when we walked down the streets of Scotland, at Edinburgh, really?
Yeah.
And you had neighborhoods that were kind of suburbia-ish.
Yeah.
And they all some of them were shared wall. We would call them a shared wall condominium
right,
here.
Right, but some of them weren't,
and
though.
Some of them weren't, and then they all had their little mini...
A very small miniature. Yep. I mean, you could probably... My whole body would have laid down and covered the entire front patch of
right.
grass. Right? Like, my whole body could have laid
neat.
Out.
It was neat.
It was neat, yeah. right? And they had the same patch in the back.
Yeah.
And it was literally just a patch. Looked
yes.
like a rug.
Right.
And I was like, whoa, that's kind of cool.
Well, let me read anyway. The description of what Privet Drive looks like in that moment. Privet Drive looked exactly as a respectable suburban street would be expected to look in the early hours of Saturday morning. All the curtains were closed. As far as Harry could see through the darkness, there wasn't a living creature inside, not even a cat.
Mm.
Now, why that comment about not even a cat? Obviously. Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Obviously.
That's a connection to our first chapter ever in this book series, where we see Professor McGonagall watching the house on Privet Drive for
right.
days.
Right. We also have Mrs. Fig's cats as well, right?
Ooh, good point.
They're running
They're
around,
probably patrolling. And Harry, why does Harry see that? Because he probably often sees cats patrolling around his house.
Right.
Just checking on him, you know?
It's far, I can't. I have this going off of a Reddit post, but it's either... Mm-hmm. Tibbles, is that right?
Yes, Mr. Tibbles,
Mr.
right.
Mr. Tibbles, right. There was a couple other ones there as well. So she had a few cats running around. Yeah, she was a dealer of measles and cat cross... Yeah, she was.
I love that she was a dealer. Who did she
I don't
deal
know.
Them with?
That's what the lexicon says. So she was dealing, wheeling and dealing.
Did she know Newt Scamander?
Could have, maybe.
I mean, what
she,
do you think?
She's a member of the Order of the Phoenix, and like, as far as we know, what, I mean, when did Newt Scamander...
Doesn't he... kind of breed measles as well later on, or his family?
Don't know. But I do know that where there's that cool connection where he's like on the map or whatever.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah, that's true. In the movies, at least, yeah. Just wondering.
Yeah, we actually don't have a day in which he passed, so...
Like, oh, we don't know when he passed away?
No.
Oh, we don't... Wait a second. But we do know that he was with Tina. Tina and him had kids.
Goodness, he is as old as...
They could still be living.
Man, he is... That is crazy.
I mean...
Right, he married Tina Goldstein, right? And they had at least one child
who
produced at least one grandson.
Who was
Rolf,
then... Who's going to be Luna's husband later.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Cool.
Wow. That's really neat.
But I think they might still be alive. What if Nicholas Flamel gave him a little bit of elixir?
Could have, yeah. Passed
no
it
one
around.
No one knows about it.
Right, passed
Cause
it around.
Because Newt helped him during the... You know, Grindelwald's reign
right.
in France. Yep.
Anyway, back to Mrs. Fig and the cats being there at Privet Drive.
Well, there's no cats.
There's none.
As far as Harry can
they
see.
They just weren't on duty that day.
True.
So,
yeah. Well, or they already returned because it's about to, you know, daybreak is about to happen. And the sun is about to rise and everything was good at night. So they're going back for some breakfast at their mommy's house.
Right. This is a dangerous time, though, actually. So as we get a little bit closer around this time, you start to look at, just for connection purposes,
mm-hmm.
when Barty Crouch Jr. does what he does, right? When
he
escapes, he's going to be escaping here soon, right?
This happens at the same time, like if the dream and, air quote, dream and the actual thing happened at the same time, then
he's not yet.
He's not yet with Voldemort.
But there's a plan.
But, not Bathilda, Bertha Jorkins is already dead.
Right.
So things are getting set in motion.
And he kind of knows about it, yeah. Because it's just like the whole reason he goes back to Privet Drive is because it's a protection.
Yeah.
Right? It's where...
And he's about to leave it.
Yeah, he's about to leave
it. Which is always interesting how that works.
Yeah, what's the point? I mean, he's there
for the majority. I guess he can't stay... Yeah, sorry, you were about to say it. If he's there for the majority of the holidays and he's just going on a trip with them,
right.
I guess it still counts as his home.
As his home. It has to be defined as he's living there.
Yeah.
And that's his... place of residence.
Yeah.
Just like my taxes, you know.
Right,
here.
And Harry's taxes.
His taxes have got a...
Do the Dursleys have him as,
a
you know, on their tax form?
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
He's a dependent, right? He's like,
I guess,
a family member they take care of.
They're claiming him. Claiming him on taxes. The Dursleys.
I mean, for sure. The Dursleys, the Muggles, they're probably doing everything correct, very correct on their taxes. Mm-hmm. And Vernon Dursley. Yeah. Uncle Vernon.
Yeah.
He is the CEO of a company, so he probably knows a lot about taxes, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm guessing that he does. I mean, Harry is well off, right? So he doesn't want to tell them about the money that he has in there.
True. I saw Lumos and Stitches did a short or a reel about it. How Harry, you know, when he sees the Weasley's empty vault and then goes to his own, he just stacks pockets full of money. But he does, I mean, give him credit, he does feel bad about it. And he tries to tell him to pay for his things and they would never say, or they would never let him. Which I understand because... when friends' parents would take me on vacation, for example, I went to Sweden with Julia and her parents, and my mom gave me some money to pay for things, but they were always like, no, you don't need to pay for anything. It's okay. Yeah. They were just so sweet. And I think when you're just happy that your son or daughter, they have such good friends and you can take care of them for a little bit as a thank you for, you know, for being or spending so much time with your kids. I don't know. Sorry. Why did I say all this?
Because the Weasleys are like,
oh, yeah, the Dursleys are well off. Harry is well off, actually. Yeah. But technically not in the Muggle world. He can't go and buy himself some ice cream with wizard money.
Right.
So could he go to Gringotts and exchange it for Muggle money? Do you think he can do that?
Don't know. If they have an exchange, that'd be pretty cool.
I feel like they would. Because there's probably occasions where wizards, we know that, have to go out in the Muggle world either to, take care of things. Maybe they have to buy a ticket for the train to go to see.
I mean, we know
some Muggle officials.
I think,
right?
Hagrid and I think at one point Arthur both ask Harry to kind of manage some of that money and tell him what's worth what. And all
that
kind of
they
stuff,
don't really know about it, but I'm sure there is some wizards, witches who are supposed to, I don't know, keep an eye on the Muggle world, be out there without showing their magic off. So they would need some Muggle money,
some exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Back to Privet Drive. Harry this summer feels a little bit better, even though he still despises being with the Dursleys. They don't really understand him, and Dudley is crankier than ever because he's on a diet, as we know. But Harry's life is a little bit better because he at least gets to have his school things with him in his room, and I'm thinking, that makes a huge difference for him because all these things, imagine if you were with sports, it's a little different, but okay, there is a connection because he also has his Quidditch book in here. Let's say you are a baseball player or golf player or something, and you love that sport, or volleyball player, and you love that sport so much, but your parents ground you for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Like you can't go out with your friends, play basketball, baseball, whatever your sport is. Now, if they also say you're not even allowed to have some magazines, the favorite pictures of your, athletes that you admire, some books about it, watch videos about it. If you're not even allowed to do any of that and your room is just full of boring math books, it's more miserable than having all of that stuff. You're able to watch some cool YouTube videos about some cool trick shots in basketball, or you get to admire your favorite athletes, or you have a sticker album where you can collect some stickers. I don't know. You surround yourself with all these things that still keep that alive for you.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like this is so nice that Harry gets to have all his school things because it also gives him a sense of this is all real. The first year, I think he went home to the Dursleys, and this summer was awful, right? After the first year, I'm sure he sometimes wondered, did I dream all this? Is this really, did this really happen?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for me, I know when I'm at school, for example, I love to put up my Star Wars poster. I love to put up my Harry Potter stuff. And
yeah, you surround yourself with what you like.
Yeah, because I'm like, okay, yes, I'm at work and we're doing different things, but it's nice to, I don't know, live in my little fandoms and kind of continue on in my little daydreams about Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. And where was Dumbledore and what was he doing and all those different things. So, you know, I think you're right. It's nice that he now can come to Privet Drive and be more surrounded by magical things and items.
Yes.
Actually, you know, when this chapter started and we were listening to it, I thought, oh, see at when the very opening line when it talks about that this was no ordinary room.
Yeah.
I was like, what, is he at the Burrow already? Like, yeah, I was sort of like, what's he going to, and they start describing some of the books and stuff. I'm like, okay, it's going to be Ron stuff. No, it's Harry's.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's allowed to kind of keep this. And
because
in the movie, we don't even see Privet Drive, right? We're not even
there. No, yeah, he's right with Ron and Hermione.
Right.
Getting ready to go to Quidditch World Cup.
So the invitation's already been sent and he's there. So when this book started, this chapter, in a reread, I was like, oh, yeah, there he is. He's actually still at Privet Drive and we have to have the awkward phone call and all those different things or whatever it is they're going to do later on here to invite him in the next chapter. I don't even remember. Like, you know, I don't even remember exactly how he gets there or how that all breaks down, which is why I'm excited to dive into it.
And we already get some hints about Quidditch. We've gotten Quidditch was mentioned in the first chapter and in this chapter as well, how we learn how much or are reminded of how much Harry just loves Quidditch so much. Even Quidditch couldn't keep his mind off of his scarf though. Mm-hmm. So he kind of looks through his book about the Chadley Canons, I think. And not even that can help him deal with his pain and his worries, really. He says something like the pain doesn't really bother him because he's been through a lot of injuries in the past years.
Yeah.
He's not that bothered by pain maybe as others are. But the worry, why does it hurt, is the bad part. And he goes to think of people he can talk to about that. And that was the sad part. He doesn't really have any parental figures around. He goes through a list of people, like his friends, Ron and Hermione. Should he tell them? But he kind of, I don't know, he knows them so well that he feels like he already knows their answers and he wouldn't be happy with their answers. And he thinks about Dumbledore, contacting Dumbledore. And then he wonders, he doesn't even know where would Dumbledore be during the summer holidays. So that got us thinking a little bit. Where is he? Where would he be right now? Is he at Hogwarts? Or is he out somewhere? Is he already looking at Horcruxes? Or what's he doing?
Yeah, what is he doing? Here's an interesting one is do he and the other... So we know in... what is it? Spinner's End, I think, was where Snape lives.
Yeah.
Right? He has a home or an apartment there.
And that's his house, I think.
Is that where he grew up? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, but he's there at one point, and he's still a professor. This is still, like, the summer.
That's where he goes,
That's where he goes in the summer. And so people started to kind of speculate, well, where does McGonagall go? Does Dumbledore have a house that he goes to? Where does he live? Because clearly you don't want to stay, like, this is your job. Yes, you stay there for 9 months, but it's a vacation for you as well. It's a retreat. Where do you go? Hagrid stays on the grounds, and he and Filch look over everything, and they sort of prepare for the
Filch following. Never gets a vacation? What?
No, Filch is on. No.
Poor guy.
I know. Bummer. He actually probably really enjoys all that, though. It's like no kids, no students. It's just him, you know, doing his thing. So
true.
Yeah.
And do you think him and Hagrid have some drinks late at night after they cleaned up?
They might. I mean,
they don't get well that long, though.
No, but I mean, it's well enough. I mean, it's just that I feel like they have to kind of restore some stuff. And maybe you don't go. I mean, it's possible that maybe you don't go back home in the summer. I don't know if some kids do stay. Like, did Tom Riddle have to go back to the orphanage?
Oh, I think he did, yeah.
Did he? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know he can stay over break, but I wondered about the summer as well, too, for him, you know, since it was an orphanage and there was no reason for the protections. You know, Harry goes back to Privet Drive. I'll have to double check that.
Yeah.
But anyways, Dumbledore probably has a house that he goes to. Where that's at, I don't know. Godric's Hollow, maybe? Perhaps? Who knows?
Good question.
People speculate that he has one. What we're going to talk about, though, is basically what did he know about Horcruxes? When and where?
Yeah.
Because the scar, this is called the scar. This is Scarcrux, and it is hurting. So his Horcrux is hurting right now in this chapter because he's had a dream about Frank Bryce and the confrontation with Lord Voldemort.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Dumbledore, what does he know when, right? Does he, at the first book, it's like, whatever. Voldemort's been gone for years. Harry's coming in.
He thinks he has more time. Dumbledore.
Plenty of time. He also he knows that he's up to something. He knows that he is ventured into. He knows, for example, that the killing curse didn't affect Harry. Something odd went on. He knows he's been obsessed with immortality, right. You know, dabbled in the dark arts in ways that nobody else has. Then as we go into Chamber of Secrets, he literally has, all of a sudden, a Horcrux in his hand. And Dumbledore is smart. Right. He knows that this is some sort of magic. Mm-hmm. At the time, he's even speculating to the Weasleys that, like, well, he's in Albania right now.
Right.
Right? So he kind of knows that wispy spirit that came there first year and attacked and everything is actually back in Albania. So he's got the... He's now got the Diary Crux. And it's like, what is he going to... Does he know how many? No, he has no idea how many, but he's starting to realize that there's something going on. What was interesting in my research, and this goes back again to, I think it's HP Boy 13 on MuggleNet.
yes.
Right? So the author of the Dumbledore book series and his podcast we mentioned last episode.
Yeah, Irvin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Blanking on his name. so he goes on actually to kind of talk about how Horcrux is essentially the diary Horcrux is an offensive Horcrux as well, right? It's meant to activate and open the Chamber of Secrets. And it you would not stash, for immortality purposes, you would not put your soul in something that was meant to be offensive. It would be more of a defensive Horcrux.
So no one could get their hands
right
on it.
So yeah. no one could do what Harry really just did, mm-hmm. which was stab it with the very beast's fang
right.
that it
the diary was supposed to be found... But the rest of the Horcruxes were not really.
Right, exactly. Nagini is the only other Horcrux that later on will be offensive and go on task. But the other ones are meant to be hidden. So Dumbledore, by book two, sort of seems to know something's up, right? He probably has more of these things. How much, we don't know.
Yeah.
You would go on to say that in Prisoner of Azkaban, he now has this idea of Horcruxes, but Sirius Black breaks out. Okay.
Right.
He calls a special meeting. I love this one. Calls a special meeting, and I forget who wrote this, but that there is a meeting of the minds at the Ministry of Magic, and Dumbledore says, "Give me a time turner for my girl Hermione. She needs it." Okay. And they're like, "What's going on? We don't know." But
so
like,
Fudge is not part of this meeting.
He is. I think he does. I think no, he's not.
No. Otherwise, he would have known right away.
He does, though. The Ministry does regulate them. So
I know, but I don't think Fudge knows. Like, he doesn't. I mean, he might sign some stuff, but he has so much on his on his
plate
that he just.
He's the Minister of Magic, right? So you go to the actual department where in which you need to get that time turner, and you probably even use McGonagall to go do it, right? And so, but he gets the time turner. He's worried about Sirius Black and all these different things. Lupin doesn't tell him. We went through that all last book. And it's crazy. Now, this summer, his mind is sort of like, okay, freed up. Sirius is fine. We did what we could do there. We went back in time, saved him. We saved Buckbeak. He's feeling pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
We're rolling into this next year. He contacts Alistair Moody. I'm going to need you this year to fill that DADA position. Meanwhile, he's going to go back to his home, you know, do his thing, whatever, for a little bit. And he's going to search for more information, go through memories, go through stuff on Tom Riddle and figure out what was that thing second year. What is that bit of dark magic that I came across in terms of the Chamber of Secrets? Like, that's pretty nuts. And the heir to Slytherin connection, and go back to the Gaunt family and start to kind of go back through down Riddle lane, memory lane, if you will. And he figures it out. He starts to kind of investigate these things. Well, by the time he starts this year, though, hey, there's news the Triwizard Tournament is happening, okay? So, all right, we got a lot of preparations to do. It's going to be a completely different year.
That's probably a lot, too, that occupies his time in the summer.
Right. And he's thinking, okay, it's whatever. It's one more year. He brings in his guy Moody all as well. But then Harry's name mysteriously gets in the Goblet of Fire. So he's thrown off here. But so at this point in time, he's just in the summer, I think, researching and probably looking through memories. And I believe, and from what a lot of other these more advanced well-studied, you know, authors and stuff on MuggleNet and various places have said and read it in Quora and everywhere where I look for my stuff, basically I'll agree that he doesn't really start searching until Umbridge kicks him out of Hogwarts in year 5.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then he goes on a search, and we know that he finds the Raincrux, and we know that he's then on to Slytherin's locket at that point. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy to think about what he knows when, and when does he know that Harry has this connection? And I feel like at the end of Goblet is when he knows, like, okay, Scarcrux, Harry. Exactly. Like, he does kind of already know it, and he knows there's some sort of connection, but the scar hasn't really hurt since first year, and now it's hurting here, and he chooses not to tell Dumbledore. Right. If he tells Dumbledore right now, I feel like Dumbledore then, that would be something else. That would go to the forefront of his mind, maybe, and say, you know what? Maybe I need somebody else to kind of step up here, McGonagall, whoever, to take over some roles. I need to start doing some trips, because in Half-Blood Prince, he does travel, right? He travels on the holidays sometimes, but I feel like he's doing more traveling, and Snape is like letting him know that he's traveling. So anyway, just a breakdown of Dumbledore's mind, I guess, over these first couple books and what he's thinking in terms of Horcruxes. Mm-hmm. And this is the scar. This is Scarcrux that is hurting right now in this chapter. Right.
So you say he would be doing some light research, like theoretical research, just reading up on some stuff, but he's not really going to places to figure out where exactly that would be.
Right. I think he...
And he's also occupied with the... Triwizard Tournament coming up.
Yeah, I think in Half-Blood Prince, Dumbledore even says that he did suspect when Harry first gave him that Chamber of Secrets, like the diary.
Right, he
that
did.
He did suspect that that was a Horcrux. Mm-hmm. So it's just how many.
Mm.
He doesn't know how many. Yeah. And so it's like, well, are there other things too? Because it seems like also after the end of this book, he will get another line from Voldemort where he says, like, I've experimented in, I don't know if it's immortality or whatever, in the dark arts in ways that nobody else has.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, there's something else that he could have maybe done as well. So anyways, he's doing all of his research this summer, and who knows, you know, what he's up to or where he goes. Or...
Well, I think he probably sends some letters back and forth, maybe visits with Madame Maxime and
Karkaroff.
Karkaroff. Thank you.
Igor.
Name this Harry Potter character in 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Igor.
But that's just my breakdown of where I think he's at. I do think it's cool to think of him sitting at his home.
I know.
And I'd love for you to make an ambience video of that. Dumbledore in his
own
little home.
What does his home look like?
Don't know. Probably a lot like his office, maybe. Bunch of little devices and things.
Maybe it's surprisingly different. You know how Bella Swan, for the first time, walks into Edward and his family's house full of vampires, and she expected it totally different because everyone would think it's dark and, you know, more vampire-like, and it's actually this beautiful.
You think
designed,
he lives in London?
Eerie...
You think he's like down? Do you think he's like he goes from Scotland down? He just apparates down to London. And he's got like a nice little flat, modern, clean, you know, and he's just out on.
That'd
the,
be kind of fun.
He's out at the clubs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a little
or
bit like.
I could see that.
A little bit like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Could be. I mean, I just feel
like... Or he has like his own summer residence somewhere. Out in the countryside.
Maybe he's got both. I'm sure he's loaded. I'm sure he has tons of money.
He's probably a lot of money, yeah.
He's the headmaster.
Even though he probably doesn't have a lot... from his job and his position in the wizarding world, he probably gets a lot of money. But I don't think his family left him a lot. I think they were pretty normal. Like, not very rich...
Right, but
more
he's
on
got
the poor side even.
Right, and like you said though, he has inventions and things that he's created.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
and stuff, so
true. He probably
he's
sold
got plenty of money.
Of them. True, true.
Okay.
So Harry, in the end, decides not to reach out to Dumbledore or any of his friends really. But he wants to speak to a parent, and this is so sad. He feels ashamed almost when he wishes he could speak to a parental figure about this his scar, someone who knows him, someone who doesn't panic about it, who knows a little bit about the dark arts even, and who comes to mind? Sirius Black, his godfather. Mm-hmm. And they've been writing letters back and forth, and it's kind of funny how Sirius letters are not sent by owls, but by these very exotic tropical birds.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious because, I mean, Sirius is trying to stay hidden and not draw a lot of attention to his letters. And then here's some tropical birds landing in a suburb of London somewhere in England. At this window. I mean, the Dursleys were... Petunia was probably freaking out.
Oh, yeah,
because it's one
sure.
of the more abnormal odd. Things, right? That would happen. So why is this bird...
Tropical birds are showing up at their house on their roof. And
I mean, owls are already pretty suspicious, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I wonder what the rumors are like in the neighborhood. Like,
do they
have some...
they have this crazy nephew who goes to the school for mentally ill kids.
Right. Yeah, do they have are they going for like a pity thing or like some sort of understanding from the neighbors? I mean, they have to come up with something to explain his absences, and then they have to explain the owls. Yeah. Right, it only happens during the summer. Strange. Wonder if any strangers come by that are like Death Eaters middle of the year or something, and they just come wandering by to check out the location and test its defenses and stuff, or you know, you can't get to Hogwarts, but you wonder if you couldn't just catch
Oh, did they put another spell on the Dursley's house? Fidelius.
Fidelius Charm, yeah.
Fidelius Charm.
Fidelius, yeah. Because an interesting one would be if you are, and this is ridiculous, can't believe my mind. Guys, don't think less of me for thinking these things. I'm always just trying to think of different ways to think about the series. And it's like, if you're a Death Eater and you wanted to force Dumbledore to put Harry in a different position or to put him in a an environment that is less guarded and less magically protected, you might take out the Dursleys. Take them out.
Wouldn't you think they're protected? That's the
whole
thing.
Don't know. I feel like they're, it just says though, it's just this bond of blood charm that is, it's her blood. That place has protections for Harry. Does it extend to Petunia and Oliver? I don't know.
I would think so.
You don't think so? All right. I don't know. I'm just thinking like throughout the school year, if I were a Death Eater and you were rolling around, you might try to test that some of that protection and see is it still protected when Harry's not there? Is there something that they could do to get to the Dursleys or when they're away from that physical location? Like if you're trying to get to the, you know, the boy who lived, you want to,
But isn't it a whole blood connection? So because Lily and Petunia are blood related, there's, you know, family blood running in Petunia too. So wouldn't she be also protected by that?
Maybe.
Or does it only extend to Harry? Yeah.
That's what because it's all centered around here, and I'm just trying to think about it in a different way. So that charm that Dumbledore puts on there is this ancient, powerful spell, and he's using Lily's blood sacrifice, as you said. The nature of it, though, we get the letter from Dumbledore to Petunia that he leaves there, right, to kind of explain it all. We don't know. So, however, in order for the charm's power to take effect, the living blood relative must first take the saved person into their home willingly. Once activated, this bond of blood will prevent harm from coming to the beneficiary when they are in their relative's home.
Yeah.
But it will break automatically when the saved person moves out permanently or turned 17.
Yeah.
So it's the protection that Petunia is taking on. So I've always viewed it as like she's taking on that role of the protector.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean she's protected. Yeah, go ahead.
I am 100% sure that Dumbledore in his letter to her wrote something like, we're going to protect your family. Because otherwise she would have been like, no. I mean, yeah, they have spell protections for Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there is something magical. Maybe he didn't exactly probably describe how he would do that so Petunia wouldn't freak out that there's some magic spells around her house.
Yeah.
But the fact that Mrs. Fig is nearby, even Harry says it would be ridiculous to think of Voldemort lurking in, you know, behind a bush in Prayer Drive.
Right, because it does seem like a pretty easy way to circumvent the protection if you can just take out a couple muggles.
Yeah, because he doesn't care. I mean, Voldemort doesn't care if Petunia and Vernon die.
Wouldn't you be curious, though? Because what if they just died? What if, if she just passes from an illness or whatever?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Does the protection drop? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my whole point is that, like, it's how do you, like, be, I mean, if you're a Death Eater and you're trying to figure out how to get to him, you know, you go there, you realize it is protected, right? For sure. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, are they on liquid luck and just happens to be that, or do they slip in some liquid luck that's been sitting out too long and Petunia ends up drinking it or it's in her cereal and then she has a misadventure and then the protection's gone, you know? Like, there's crazy ways to circumvent this stuff.
Dumbledore is sending them, like, supplies of coffee that are fortified with liquid luck the whole time.
Wow. That'd be cool.
We're just coming up with ridiculous.
Sorry, guys. Weird. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Crazy.
So I'm sure the Dursleys are well protected as the protectors of Harry in this moment. It's too important. I don't think Dumbledore would take chances at Death Eaters coming by and getting to Harry that way. You want to know what Harry in the end wrote to Sirius?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So in his letter, he thought about it long and hard how to phrase this without causing too much concern, but also letting him know, hey, I don't think this is normal. Do you know anything about it? So Harry says, "Dear Sirius, thanks for your last letter. That bird was enormous. It could hardly get through my window." Again, Petunia probably
lost it.
Lost it that moment. Yeah. "Things are the same as usual here. Dudley's diet isn't going too well. My aunt found him smuggling donuts into his room yesterday. They told him they'd have to cut his pocket money if he keeps doing it, so he got really angry and chucked his PlayStation out of the window. That's a sort of computer thing you can play games on. It's so cute that he explains that to Sirius. Bit stupid, really. Now he hasn't even got Mega Mutilation Part 3 to take his mind off things. It's also so funny that he just writes about that kind of stuff before he gets to the point.
Yeah.
Really quick before I read on, this is for Sirius, probably also a mini connection to read about, you know, even though the Dursleys are horrible to Harry, but it's just a connection again to James because, and Lily, of course, but James probably talked about these stupid Dursleys, you know, meeting Vernon for the first time. He probably talked to his best friend about it, how awful they are. And I feel like Sirius, just like Harry feels this connection to his parents when he writes to Sirius, I think Sirius also getting that information from Harry and just little things about
probably feels
family.
Good.
Yeah, kind of cool. So Harry says, I'm okay, mainly because the Dursleys are terrified. You might turn up, you might turn up and turn them all into bats if I ask you to. A weird thing happened this morning, though. My scar hurt again. Last time that happened, it was because Voldemort was at Hogwarts. But I don't reckon he can be anywhere near me now, can he? Do you know if cursed scars sometimes hurt years afterward? I'll send this with Hedwig when she gets back. She's off hunting at the moment. Say hello to Buckbeak for me, Harry.
Yeah.
And he's pretty proud of it. Yep, sounds good. And he decides not to mention his dream.
Right, you lose that out because he doesn't want to, you know, go too far with it. It's hurting. What do you think that means?
Yeah.
Yeah, Harry often tries to do stuff, I think, on his own and should probably confide more in adults and stuff. But we wouldn't have a story if he did that. So,
yeah.
Thanks, Harry. I'm going to do some more digging on this whole protection thing. You got my wheels spinning now and about...
I know, I can see that. You're already researching it.
I'm already researching it. I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't as straightforward as you think. There are literally just one to two quotes about this and some different interpretations. So I'll be back with more on that.
Ooh, later. Next episode.
But all right, cool little chapter, short one. Sure. We drug it out as long as we could, guys. You know, that's what we do.
It's just to recap.
Their speciality. So,
yeah.
Are you making notes? Is that what you're doing right now?
Sorry, yeah, it's me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's a me, a Mario.
Cool beans. So, anyway, we've got about one more week until we are off on spring break here, and we'll be producing a lot more content for you guys. We've got some more Patreon content coming up. Hopefully you guys like the Voldemort timeline that we did
other
day. I thought that was a lot of fun and just, again, more research for us. Going to continue to do that and continue to post some long-form videos over on Extended Edition, our YouTube channel. We've got shorts going up over there, too, so feel free to check that out. Thanks for some of you who commented on our post the other day. We appreciate
that. Yay, thanks.
I think Kayla was on there and had commented, so it's just cool to see you guys in it, you know, over on YouTube, different place. anything else? I think we're good, right? We are... Time to hit the outro.
Off and running.
All right. Here we go. Well, friends, thank you. That's all for this week. Thanks for tuning in to Shell College Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope you're going to join us in the future. We thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people. Don't be bubbling, baboons.
Baboons.
If you don't want to miss out on the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review and follow on social media at Fleur and Bill.
If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You'll find all the links down below. And thank you so much to all our current patrons. We appreciate you, Tuluna and Spack. On our next reread episode, we will discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Chapter 3, The Invitation. So make sure you tune back in next time, and until then, have a great rest of your week. Thanks for joining us in our shell cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.